Elaine Frost. When I lived here, I was Elaine Vaughan. Came to live here when I was 13, getting toward nearly 14, with my mum and dad.
Right.
They'd always wanted a pub, and they got the chance of managing this one. So there was my brother as well when we came to live here, as well as myself. There was my brother, and he's 6 years younger than me.
So
I was here from 13
here?
Until 18, five years.
Yeah, yeah.
1960 to 1965. We managed to get a cottage, a rented cottage down the hollow, because our daughter Catherine wasn't sleeping at nights because of the jukebox.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
So that was 1965 when we moved out of here. But my mum and dad were still here until 1970.
Right.
So I used to come up regularly and bring Catherine up, and then Helen when we had Helen.
Right. So did you work here with your mum and dad when you were
I just washed glasses
because
I couldn't do... I was afraid of trying to add up the prices of drinks in my head. There were no fancy tills then. It was a mixture. We got quite a few people out from Sheffield.
Right.
And then there were a lot of local people as well. And it was very busy at times, I suppose in the summer or at weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And the cars would be parked. It wasn't a very big car park. And the cars would be parked right down the main road and right up the main road. No breathalyzers, so they didn't know when to go home. And there were even times when my dad hid them from the police upstairs. If the police were prowling round looking for after time, there'd be about half a dozen. I'd have gone hide upstairs until the two policemen had been and gone away.
Was that locals generally, people you knew, or was it just who happened to be there?
But there was a nice little gang used to come out from Sheffield, so it might have been them as well.
Did they drive out then?
Yes,
yeah.
And then they'd drive home, you see.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe
one
of them hadn't had so much to
drink. But they still...
But
yeah.
My dad used to take the local ones, my husband being one of them before I married him, and his brothers, and Mick Crooks and people... David Crooks, I think, Jack Froggatt. My dad used to run some of them home in his Hillman Husky. The entertainment was the jukebox.
Right.
And two men used to come. They seemed like old men to me, but that was because I was only a teenager. They probably weren't that old. But they used to come out once a fortnight and put us two new records on. At the time, I must have been keen on the Beatles. Because I remember when they brought, one week, they brought I Wanna Hold Your Hand by the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
And I started jumping up and down with excitement. And my mother said to me, "What on earth's the matter, dear?" Weekends, she would play the piano in the dining room and we'd have sing-alongs.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the old wartime songs, We'll Meet Again, and Pack Up Your Troubles in Your Old Kit Bag.
Yeah.
And then if something came out that I liked by Adam Faith, Cliff Richard, Elvis Presley, when I went to town, I'd buy the sheet music and get my mum to learn to play it, and then things like that. Not many weddings. I think there was just Rose Sampson and Rose Armstrong and Tony Sampson.
Right.
And my mum did their wedding reception in the old dining room, which is now the middle room because it's all been extended.
Yeah.
And I remember the sweet peas, they're on the photographs, the sweet peas on the table. They were from Rose's dad, George Armstrong. He grew the sweet peas and he brought some up for his daughter's wedding.
That's really nice.
But the other catering really was, she would do Christmas parties, my mum, for firms or people who wanted to book in, and she would do, I seem to remember, chicken dinners.
Right.
Half a small chicken each.
Yeah.
And Christmas pudding.
Right.
And then small miniature cups of coffee and poured out of silver pots. But then she would do afternoon teas, and there was always Battenberg. She loved a Battenberg cake. And
I
still do, and one of my daughters loves it.
Mm.
And there would be a selection of stuff, which included Battenberg. But for some of the dinner parties she would do, you used to be able to buy a small Bakewell tart that you could cut into four portions. It was just big enough for four. And she'd serve a quarter of this Bakewell tart with custard for the dessert.
Yeah.
That would, and then she did afternoon teas, which would be sandwiches and, like I said, Battenberg and something else, chocolate roll or something. And what was known as high teas. My grandson wanted to know what was a high tea when I was telling him about it. But that would be salad and ham. He used to go out of the back door, down some steps, into a very small yard.
Yeah.
You could hardly call it a yard.
Right.
It must have had a fence or something. Big backyard, you could park a couple of cars in there, and you went across. There was a garage on the left, mm-hmm. like with double doors. I forget what we kept in there. And there were some steps from the right hand side of it, some stone steps went down into another barn underneath the garage, where we had Joe, who was homeless and used to help out. And we'd got some brass beds down there.
Yeah.
I remember making this bed up for him and a little bedside table and everything, and we used to feed him and he slept down there. But then straight across from the kitchen, the other barn, we used to do bottle sorting in there. I don't know whether that's still done nowadays, but I can remember this blue bath on wheels.
Yeah.
Maybe fiberglass or whatever was used in the 1960s, they would be all these empty Britvic orange and baby sham and cherry beer bottles, which were sticky.
Yeah, yeah.
They all went in, wheeled across to the barn, and then whoever was willing to do it or got badgered into it had to go and sort these bottles, sticky bottles, your hands got in real mess, into the crates, the individual crates for wards from Mexborough to take back when they made the next delivery of soft drinks.
Right. So was the pub
tied to the car park?
Was
now.
It tied to a brewery then, like Ward's?
Yes, Stones
like a tied
Brewery.
House.
Stones Brewery.
Stones.
And then
right.
we had soft drinks from Ward's of Mexborough.
Right.
And then somewhere along the line, Bass Charrington took over.
Right.
I can't just remember exactly when that was.
Yeah.
But my dad had worked for Duncan Gilmore's before that.
Right.
So he'd always been in that sort of line of trade. I can remember on Saturday, we used to get some football players, Sheffield United and Sheffield Wednesday. Some of them used to come out Saturday night when they were free to have a drink after the match.
Yeah.
They couldn't win their training before.
Yeah, yeah.
And lots of interesting people, really. But I remember there were some lads, they weren't football players. I can always remember it was like a TARDIS. There was a Ford Zephyr car. And it used to turn up on Saturday nights, and all these lads used to pile out of it. You know, there must have been at least six.
Yeah, yeah, I'll
and
come
in.
Come.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
My mum and dad's first barman was Paddy Bradley from down on the estate,
right.
And he told me he'd got this cousin who worked as a barman down at the Marquis of Granby, which is no
right,
more.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, they had to be smartly dressed down there, so we always wore a collar and tie. And Paddy said, our Dennis is coming up, you'll have to meet him. So he came in this time and said to me, we just got chatting, and I said, you come in here very often? And he said, no, but I might be doing from now on.
Oh, a charmer.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
So when we got married, we lived here until Catherine was 19 months old,
yeah.
And we managed to get a rented cottage
yeah.
down in the village, and I'm still there. My husband died 25 years ago.